We are dealing now with the rhythm of God, the rhythm that pulsates throughout the universe in a very special way. You flow with it, or you flow against it. And what you experience is determined by your awareness of what you are doing in relation to that rhythm of God. It's like the ocean, you might say. It ebbs and it flows, and it would be foolhardy to stand against it. So it is with the rhythm of the Spirit. It is an absolute necessity for God to individualize as you. And if you are in the belief that you have a human mission, then you are in conflict with the activity of God, which is individualizing as you. It is the pleasure of the Father to individualize as you by giving you the kingdom. And it is your mission not to fulfill yourself humanly, but rather to release into experience the treasures of the kingdom of God. When you give yourself a name called I, and you apply that name to the human self, you are using the name of the Lord in vain. I is the Spirit of God. I is the name of that Spirit of God. When you say I, and you mean the mortal who inhabits a graven image, you are using the name of God in vain. Now, it makes no difference what post you occupy in the human world, how high you have risen in your profession, how high you have risen in the religious world or in the scientific world. When you say I and you mean you, the mortal self, you are violating the third commandment. We have done it. We will continue to do it, and there will be some who will say, I know that in the progression from the sense of mortality to the experience and realization of immortality, there can be no substitutions. Everything set down before us by the Father is the only path. And so, I patiently, assiduously, with total scrupulous attention to detail, watch every thought to be sure that it is what the Father has directed me to do. The Father has said there is only one cause, one source, one creator, and have no other source, no other cause, no other creator than me, the Spirit of God in you. Then the Father says, you must now cross out the graven image. And now the Father says, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord in vain. And the name of the Lord is I. And there have been 100 times this day and the last day and the day before when we have said I, referring not to the infinite Spirit, but referring only to the graven image. And then we have looked across the room and say, he over there, or she over there. And that is the same as saying, I over here. We have again not identified the true I. Now, I can say this for the next 10 years, and there will be many persons who will be totally unimpressed. Probably, of the 100 that are here, in a week's time from now, many will have forgotten it. And I would like to say to those who will have forgotten it, you will then make yourself vulnerable, because the rhythm of spirit must flow. And when you are not in the rhythm of spirit, you are in the rhythm of the world mind, and you are dashed against the rocks. Whoever lives in the world mind is vulnerable, controlled, captive. I have seen people who have tried with all the deepest dedication and sincerity possible and could not stop themselves from living in the rhythm of the world mind, because they had not persuaded themselves that I must always be the living spirit of God and not I, a mortal being. So part of your transformation is the determination to stop, to look closely at what Spirit says through the third commandment, and to make a decision. Up to a certain point, we had no choice. We lived willy-nilly in the world mind, and eventually we passed out of the picture. Now we're not only given a choice, we're given a method. I is the method. But I means infinite I. I does not mean the temporary mortal who dies. I does not mean the finite. I does not mean the limited or the destructible, or the one who is in opposition with others. I means identity. Now, it is quite a sacrifice to give up mortality. You don't quit your job tomorrow. You don't close down your house. You do this within yourself. You accept that you are no longer studying the infinite way. You are the infinite way. I. And if you will make this distinction within yourself, that I am the infinite way, you will find that a certain degree of duality is dissolved. Now let's see what the Father says through Moses in the totality of this third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Not holding you guiltless means that the moment you identify as a mortal being, you're in the karmic stream. Now, as you leave the finite sense of being for a moment and dwell on a higher level of awareness, you can come to grips with that force called the world mind, which has been so puzzling, so baffling, so unknown to mankind. And you will see that the only way you can overcome the world mind is through this commandment. Not taking the name of the Lord in vain, for only your infinite I, self, will dissolve the world mind. The issues are not on the level of man. There's no way to conquer world mind as a human being. And this is the weapon. You stand in awe. Now, it may seem at the moment as a very small weapon to you, but you are dealing with a force that is invisible, subtle, almost unknown and obscure. And yet, the moment you have touched I within yourself, the world mind is powerless to control you. I is not living in this passing minute. You must learn when you have surrendered the I. You must recognize those moments when, through unawareness of your identity as the infinite way, the infinite self, the infinite being, you have surrendered to the world mind. You must learn to recognize those moments. And if you are living in the minute that has gone by, and part of you has died in that minute that went by, and part of you will die in the next minute, you are not that I. For God is not dying in passing minutes. Spirit is not influenced by passing minutes, passing days, passing years. And so when you accept the passing years, you are not identifying as I. You are identifying as me. And you are labeling a me where only the Spirit of God is. There's no one where you are but the Spirit of God. And it takes quite a degree of resolution not to run pell-mell into the next minute as a me, because there's something there that is attractive to you. Now, who among us is willing to do this? Only those who have pledged their lives to being spiritual beings. You see, this is not a place anymore for compromise. There is no way to proceed with compromise. You must stand consciously aware of every thought, every deed, every wind, so that you are always conscious of the fact that your name, your identity, and your qualities are I. For God will not hold him guiltless who uses the name of the Lord in vain. Now, you will catch yourselves many times about to say, I am going to the store, I am going to do this, and I am going to do that, and that's perfectly all right. But if you make the effort to live in the eye of being, you will find yourself living in the kingdom of God. You must always know when you're using the little I and when you should be using the big I. Because I, little, of my own self can do nothing. But I, the Father within, can do all things. Now, when you are willing to accept His commandment, and not your own personal judgment of whether you're going to do things His way or not, then you invoke spiritual law. You can't bring spiritual law into play because you have decided to do it your way. It won't work any other way. These are unique commandments. They must be done. And so Jesus, when he speaks, says, "Verily, I say unto you." To enforce the idea that these are not the words external to yourself, they are the words of I in the midst of you, always teaching, always pleading to follow the words of I, because only I can take you into the fifth world. You cannot go there on your human initiative. You cannot go there by fulfilling your human sense of a mission. And your only mission is to enter the fifth world. Now we have a difficult time if we have been living by our own human resources, especially if we've been very capable and been able to show a great degree of success. How can we relinquish all our capabilities and yet everything shows us that unless we are the meek, we cannot inherit the earth. We are being trained to be living souls working in the Father's kingdom, serving the Spirit, impersonalized, faithful, dependable, loving the Spirit with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. That doesn't appeal to many people. It seems like no life at all. But is that any concern of ours, if this is the life we wish to choose? Now let us look at some passages in Revelation which show us of those who have had this particular state of awareness and have made their choices, and those who have not. And let us try to capture with a degree of certainty the issues that are involved, so that when we make our decision, to accept I as immortal or mortal as we have been doing in the past, we know why we are making that decision and what we may expect if we make one decision as against another. First, let's look at Revelation 13. We'll just look at the 11th verse on for a moment. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. This is the second beast. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound we heal. Now you'll notice that these two beasts are the world mind and the individual mind of a human being, so that we have a relay system in which every human mind is within the world mind, so that one beast controls the second beast. This is the purpose of the symbolism, to let you know that your human mind, which may be the president of a college or the chief magistrate of a city or the chief doctor of surgery at the local hospital, your human mind is within the world mind. And even when you operate and you help someone physically, the words of Christ are that Satan is healing Satan. Those are his very words. The world mind heals its own false creation. And then we worship the world mind. Now we have a second beast, which is the individual mind, which is glued into the world mind and takes orders from it. And we think this is our superior mind. This is the mind of me. When a human says I, he's referring to I, this mind of mine, this intelligence of mine, this capability of mine. And it's all the capability and intelligence of the world mind, which he does not know is the father of his human life. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And we watch these wonders. He might be referring to the great achievements of industry, the great discoveries of the human mind, the great advancements in our various categories of human life, great wonders, fire from the sky, and always the hope that tomorrow something better will come. We all live on this hope, don't we? We all live on the hope that improvements are coming about. Governments will clean up their types of leadership. Men will become more noble in their aspirations. Love will descend. War will end. But they never do. Because the world mind is running the world, not God. And the world mind is running the minds of the people in the world, not God. And every one of these minds in the world is saying, I, meaning me, this person. I am the president. I am the vice president. I am the chairman of the board. And where is the I that is the only I, the real I? Not part of that understanding. And ultimately, the Tower of Babel crumbles. It cannot reach heaven. Even these great miracles of fire. Only persuade those who walk in the false sense of self. I've heard that down in Taiwan, there is great healing work being done. I've heard it described as in biblical times. You walk through the streets practically, and blind are healed, the deaf are healed, the crippled are healed, scales fall off their eyes. And I'm sure that these missionaries are reporting the truth as they see it. And then you ask yourself, what is really happening? That all happened also in biblical time. But what good came up? These were the miracles of the human mind. Satan healing Satan. World mind healing its own creation. Nothing in it of a spiritual nature. And therefore, it simply becomes human betterment, which is temporary. And again, man thinks God has done these things, and then cannot understand when God refuses to do them again. You see, then, we are breaking barriers of accepting false miracles, of expecting a God to help mortality. We instead are stepping out of mortality. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. To make an image to the beast. This is the graven image of the human mind. Once it finds what is called a healing in the human sense, it now believes God has done something. And it takes this temporary sense of relief as a God experience, and later, to its own complete discouragement, finds that it was not a God experience at all. Nothing external can give you a God experience. Nobody waving an arm or touching with the hands or pronouncing famous words or formularized words. The God experience is the inner self expressing, releasing you from the sense of mortality. Now, John here is giving us an insight into the superstitious nature of the human mind and how hungry it is for help, and how grateful it is when it receives the help, even though it is not the help of the spirit. It's the help of the invisible beast. It's as if we are so grateful when war is stopped and a peace treaty is signed. We say, this is marvelous. We have peace. But we only have temporary peace until the next war. Or we have a healing, but only temporary, until the next problem. This is the limited viewpoint of material sense. And the third commandment is telling you how to break this limited viewpoint. I need no healing. I am already healed. I need no increase in anything. I already am the fulfillment of spirit. When you identify as that I, not as the one who needs the healing, not as the one who needs the improvement, not as the one who is seeking peace or security or any human betterment, but as the one who has, because I am the Spirit of God. I am infinity. You bring into play the law of one source, one cause, one divine rhythm, and you are in harmony with that rhythm. And your healing is for all time. Your unlimitation is for all time. And you're not catering to the passing form in the passing minutes, but you're accepting the invisible self, whichever is. Now, this is the higher road for us, the road that is difficult to discern, the road that many would rather not take because the vision is too high. And John wants us to know the decoy and the lure of the lower road. We vote for one man because he'll bring us prosperity, another man because he makes another promise. And then we blame the man because he doesn't fulfill the promise. This is all mortal. This is not the divine son. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Can you see what is being said there? You realize that this is talking about mortal beings who are the image of the beast, who must worship mortality and be killed. Do you see the high insight that is pouring forth through John? That every human being is a child of the beast and must die because the beast is the father of lies, a murderer from the start, as the Christ has told us. Do you see why we cannot walk across the street and forget this? Do you see why the earth is dark instead of light? And so the challenge comes, who among you will slay the beast? Who among you will stand up and say, I am not mortal? I am not the graven image. I am not the person. I am not the flesh. I am the only begotten Son of the living God, not the dying beast. That third commandment has stood there all these years, staring religion in the face. And millions have walked through those portals of religion unaware that they were committing suicide by not following the third commandment. That is the darkness that has been on the earth. The false identification, the faith in the world mind, thinking it was faith in God. And the God of religion is the world mind. Man worships the world mind, not God. That is why the first commandment was given. Stop worshiping the world mind. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But man did not understand. Stop being a graven image, committing suicide daily, but man did not understand. Identify yourself as I, Spirit. That is your name, but man did not understand. Some did understand. John saw those. He saw the ones who understood. His description of them is to me very beautiful. And I'd like you to hear it just the way he saw it. It's in Revelation 24, 20, verse 4. And you will understand it a certain way because of what we have done up to this point. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. See, he was looking into the fifth world, seeing those who had done what you and I are learning we must do, to be beheaded. For the witness of Jesus really means to deny your mortality, to accept I as your name. And this is being beheaded, giving up the sense of mortality, for the witness of Jesus, in order to accept I am the invisible Christ. And when you are willing to deny thyself as mortal, deny the mortal instincts, the mortal emotions, the mortal desires, the mortal needs, and to transfer your attention to I, Christ, the Son of God, the Infinite One, I, the Living Eternal Self, then you graduate into this area that John is seeing, where you are among those souls who have overcome the sense of mortality. And this is in the fifth world. This is where you move into. This is your ascension to the fifth world. And to me, this is the purpose of what we are all here for, not only in this room, but on this earth, to move into the fifth world, because this is the rhythm of the Spirit of God individualizing, first into the fifth as a living soul who has now renounced and overcome the graven image called mortality, and walks free, but is still not complete, still not a bride of the Spirit, but learning, but now in a state of service to the Spirit. And this is the next experience, rather than reincarnation, if you have caught the divine vision, if you have felt the pulse of his rhythm, saying, rise, come up, ascend, come higher. Make the transmutation from physical form to spiritual body. And approach that moment of transition when, as a living soul, free of the impurity of mortal thought, you move into the fifth world. They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They had not worshipped the beast. They didn't have his image in their forehead. His image in their foreheads means they no longer had a mortal sacrifice. They no longer worshipped the beast called world mind thinking. They were worshipping God. They had shattered the dream of mortality. But who are these souls? Did they not walk upon the earth as we walk? Were they not so-called human beings at one time? Where did their wisdom come from? It came from that incredible something called love. Love of the Spirit. And the Spirit of love. Not human love, not limited love, not changing love, but a love so strong that it could overcome the sense of anything unlike God. A fierce love. A love that refused to be submerged in the confusion of this world. A love perhaps born of strife, of pain, an ecstasy born of agony, but there, so strong that an individual can say, I am that Spirit of God and no other. No one can convince me of sin. Nothing can move me out of this knowledge that I am that I am. That love pulsing through you will give you the strength. It would rather suffer than surrender to the world mind. It will not worship the beast, nor will it worship the image cast forth by the beast called the human form. In Isaiah, you can feel what must happen within your very being in order to overcome the tide of world opinion, world belief. Isaiah 61:1. Let's look at it. You've heard it many times. Hear it now inside yourself. Try to see that Spirit which has placed this in words through Isaiah is speaking this always within you, to give you the awareness, the insight, courage to accept the rhythm of God. Accept yourself now as the living Spirit. So that your own being is speaking these words. Not Isaiah. Not the Bible. Your spirit speaks the words of God. Your spirit within you, which is free and eternal. It is this inner voice speaking that will lead you out of mortality if you are ready to move out of it while appearing in the form. Only this inner voice, this inner intelligence, can lead you out. So you must open that way. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is that very Spirit in Isaiah, forcing its way through because he has opened our way. And so it comes unto you, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. It is the rhythm of the universe. It is the power of the one source. It carries with it love, harmony, beauty, life without end. It carries with it its own life, its own wisdom, its own perfect will. It is always present as your very being. And in the realization of it, you feel this surge of spiritual awareness saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me. That means that you have been lifted into a conscious awareness of the living Spirit of your being. The Lord hath anointed me. You are conscious of the activity of your own spirit.